This time it goes to Barkley up the middle, across the 40, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown, Saquon Barkley!
Who else, Merrill Reese, Eagles Radio Network? That was one of two Saquon Barkley touchdowns that went for over 70 yards. He's in the MVP conversation. Got a lot of sad Giants fans around here. But that was a massive win for the Eagles on the road in L.A. And I think, Perloff, I believed it was really the Lions, maybe the Packers, and that was about it in the NFC. I was very dubious about your Eagles. Well, the Eagles are for real.
Yeah, no, they definitely are playing really well. By the way, big surprise, the defense is great, too. Not perfect last night. There was some old issues sort of popped their heads, but it feels like they're healthy and they're great. Brandon Graham, you know, star pass rusher for years and years, sort of a face of the defense after the year with a torn triceps. That's a blow, but you really have to feel confident the way the Eagles are controlling the ball. Chris Collinsworth kept saying, and it was annoying me last night on NBC, they put a stranglehold on you with the run game. It's true. Because you stop them, you stop them, you stop them. Eventually, you get a Saquon Barkley big play. It's a great formula. Jalen Hurts, by the way, playing really, really well. Maybe it's kind of easy with Saquon doing all this, but I really don't see a major flaw with this team, which makes me scared and excited.
You should be excited. This is, you know, this is a good roster. And the one thing about it is you already have a quarterback. You already have a good offensive line, defensive line. But your star offseason acquisition, which was Saquon Barkley, is going like it cannot be going any better. I'll knock on wood for you, but it cannot be going any better. This is everything you would have dreamed of with Barkley and more. And it looks like your rookies, you hit on those with Quinyon Mitchell and with Cooper DeJean. You've got two rookies who are really contributing in a big way to the defense. This is as good as it gets for a football fan.
But I know what you're doing when you say this is a good roster. That's just a backhanded dig at Nick Sirianni.
It absolutely is.
But let me ask
just
you
kidding.
This.
I'll never believe in Sirianni. He could win five Lombardis. I'd be like, I don't know about this dude.
But wasn't it a good roster when they lost five of their last six last year?
Okay, so we didn't know at the time, or we didn't realize to the extent of just how terrible the communication was. The vibes were off. Everyone didn't like Sirianni, and Hurts couldn't even be in the same room together.
The coordinators were bad.
Like, it seems like all that got flushed out of the building.
I mean, it's still Sirianni and Hurts.
Yeah, but somehow they've made it work now. Kellen Moore is a good buffer between these guys in terms of communication. Either they realize, hey, our success, we're tied to each other. I don't know what it is.
So that's not a roster. That's coaching. That sure sound like you mentioned a coach's name.
I don't know. I mean, when you was said, the last time? I just don't think it's Sirianni. Because I don't think Sirianni picked the coordinators either.
Well, they wanted Vic Fangio for years. They basically couldn't get him because he went down to Miami when they had an opening last time. Anyway, I hear what you're saying. They really, really need Lane Johnson. He's the star of that offensive line to stay healthy. And they need Barkley to stay healthy. So my only concern is they're really running him to death. I'd bet against the Eagles total next year because they are running Saquon Barkley.
Well, we're not like talking about next year. Talk about this year and how he's just been awesome.
Well, even so, 26 carries a game, I'm just a bit nervous. And there's reason to be, too. Like, I don't know if they need to win this way the rest of the year. I would maybe vary it a little bit and save Saquon for the playoffs. You look at Kansas City on the other side, they're saving everything. They're not even like running plays for their star players. They're just like, we'll see you in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, that's debatable about Kansas City. Are they not showing anything and not running anything? Or is this just them this year? They're just playing down to the competition.
There's no debate. You know you're going to see a completely different team in the playoffs. You might not even recognize them.
Can we hear from Saquon Barkley, Manny? Can I get cut 17? He says his time with the Eagles has been better than he even expected it to be.
To be honest, I'm not surprised. I didn't know, I would have this much success, and I keep thinking that God's been busting me a lot, a ton, to be honest. But, I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful for the fresh start.
Listen, I'm not trying to point and laugh at the Giants at all because, listen, Manny, chin up. You could get the number one overall pick. You'll start over with another quarterback. It'll be fine. But I'm just trying to think of the last time a player could really stick it to his former team in this way, like this obviously. And I'm not coming up with anything.
I mean, kind of Deion in 95, but the Cowboys and Niners didn't play again. But, I mean,
But this is different, though, because the Giants want to lose every game. Like, this
well,
is actually...
now. It does, but not even when so, they paid Daniel Jones and let Saquon Barkley go. They went into the season not thinking tank.
The Giants' biggest organizational failures have been the refusal to move on. They drafted Saquon when they should have drafted a quarterback. They drafted Malik Nabers to help Daniel Jones. Like, this is like, they need to be hit in the face, rebuild a quarterback. Last year was... they said, we can make this work with Daniel Jones. Like, this is now, it's like obvious, okay?
So, no, it is, but we saw off-season hard knocks with this team. Yeah. That was not a tank team. They traded for Brian Burns.
But it should have been. It should have been start over a quarterback team.
Oh, well, yeah.
They should not have traded for Brian Burns. They should not have done any of that. They should have acted like, they tried, they're like, well, maybe we can compete this year with Brian Daboll. They should not, now, like, that's gone. They're not going to repeat the same mistakes. They're going to let Joe Shane's son, who wanted Jaden Daniels, run the draft. No, there's no way.
Getting Jaden Daniels. They weren't getting Drake May. They weren't getting any of these guys.
How could they not? There's no way they can repeat the same mistakes. They don't have a quarterback.
No, now they need one because they finally had Daniel Jones. And think about it. They didn't even release Jones. He had to go and ask them for his release.
Right, right. No, but they have no choice. They've been forced in their hand into starting over. And that's the best thing.
And I don't know if the coach and the GM are going to be there, but I'm really trying to think, is there a player who could stick it to, it's like in the division, playing great, your team's playing awful, you know the owner wanted to keep you, and for some reason the GM said no thank you. Like, all of it. I've never seen anything like this before. It's uncanny.
Well, why would the Titans not feel the same way about Derrick Henry?
Not the same division.
Charles Haley's the other guy I could think of.
Yeah, but those are like championship teams, like right, like they were competing in the playoffs. That's
really sticking it to your former team, right?
Right, right. This is different. Like the Giants are not going to see the playoffs, right? This is sort of sticking to your former team, but it's a different dynamic. Because that was a big deal when Deion switched. That was a huge issue.
The other thing too about Derrick Henry is he already had gotten the second contract, right? So like he was already into the second contract. This was Barkley. Who's going to? Are the Giants going to pay him the second contract, or are the Eagles? Eagles decide to do it, and now it looks like the rest is going to be
most of the time when a guy moves on, like a team lets a guy move on, like it ends terribly. Like Donovan McNabb going to Washington, like that.
Forgettable.
That should have been like this, but it was a trade disaster. He was fat and out of shape. It was usually that's how this goes, but for some reason this Saquon thing, they gave up on a guy who clearly had more left in the tank.
Well, it's a preview for you for next year when Aaron Rodgers.
Goes to the Patriots?
Definitely not.
He's not going to team in the division, though.
I was alive.
Maybe Miami.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm just saying he's going to dominate next year and sort of stick it to his former team in the sense that he'll be good again.
I literally looked up a list of players who got revenge on their old teams. Marcus Allen's on here when he went to the Chiefs against the Raiders. You know, him and Al Davis had that beef.
Yep.
They mentioned Deion as well, as I said earlier. Though they actually mentioned Deion going from Atlanta to San Francisco because remember he went to Atlanta. He's fighting Andre Rison. He takes one to the house and he's high stepping 50 yards away from the end zone. Like, incredible. Also, Jerome Bettis going from Rams to Steelers. These are the guys on the list here. Oh. And Tom Brady versus Tom Brady sticking it to the Patriots. That's a big one. That's number one on this list.
Yeah, I get that, and I know, but yeah, I guess Tom Brady did stick it to him. It's not in this very familiar way, like with between a division rival. Again, I'll maintain that Barkley going to a team that's 90 miles away and having to face them twice in a year and just how differently it's gone for the two teams. But yeah, no, Brady definitely.
I know it feels more like it's to Belichick.
Favre as a Viking quarterback to the Packers was pretty intense.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right, let's get to our NFL in 60.
Maggie and Perloff take you around the league, recapping this weekend's football action. Time for NFL in 60.
I feel like a little part of Manny just died in that first part of the segment.
Yeah, he died a long time ago.
Sorry, Manny, our Giants fan.
Wait. Man, you did not want the Giants to win these games, right?
No, but I mean, I'm tired of the consistent losing. It's been a decade of it, and it's just not good. I'm tired. I'm tired of it being Thanksgiving and me not having anything to live for.
You're basically saying you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. I get it.
Yes, NFL in 60.
Let's get to it. So we got the Vikings, thanks to Romo coming through in the clutch. Not Tony Romo, or a different Romo, John Parker Romo. Vikings beat the Bears 30-27 in overtime.
Wait, I don't even know. What game did Nance and Romo even call yesterday?
No idea.
I have no idea.
Brady was on a
Brady was on the 49ers. Anyway, yeah. This one was wild because the Vikings should have won this game easily. They were ahead by 11 points with 22 seconds left to go. And then all of a sudden, this game was in overtime. Vikings win anyway. I think the big takeaway was Caleb Williams looks really good. And, you know, to be fair, Sam Darnold, this was gutty. He definitely hurt his foot at one point, came back, won the game in overtime.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like a moral victory for the Bears. I know they lost, but who cares, right? This all of a sudden, Caleb Williams looks like a different quarterback with Thomas Brown. I mean, he does have to run a lot to make this happen. Like, basically, Shane Waldron tried to keep him in the pocket, and that was a mistake. But you know what happens to young mobile quarterbacks. Anyway.
47 passes for Caleb Williams, pass attempts, 340 yards. Only 6 carries for 33 yards, yeah, but he feel like he was on the move a lot.
Yeah, in the pocket, he moves around like crazy.
Lions moved to 10-1 for the first time since the 30s. They beat up on the Colts 24-6.
Why are we just betting the Lions every week? We are such idiots for this. They have covered, it feels like, every single week, and these spreads are not small, Perloff, and they continue to cover. The Lions are just they're a wagon.
Well, against the Texans, were they covered in that game?
I think so.
I mean, the one that they should have won, like the Texans found a way to lose. Yeah, I'm getting back to the NFC North is great. The Lions look like a wagon, but like they're destroying the AFC South right now. It's kind of hard to tell. They've had their little AFC South run. We'll see with Chicago, Green Bay, Buffalo, San Francisco coming up. I think there's going to be some close games because they do look like, if you remember the Texans game, Goff threw 5 interceptions. Yeah. Like, there's going to be some.
Won, though. I mean, it's amazing. I have a question for you, though. Yeah. You're so worried about Saquon Barkley's carries. Are you not worried about Jahmyr Gibbs and his workload? 21 carries, pardon me, for 90 yards yesterday and 2 touchdowns?
Without looking at the numbers, I'll bet you Barkley has twice as many carries as Jahmyr Gibbs.
I got to look it up.
Because you got Montgomery.
Sorry, let's go to Miami, where it was four touchdowns for Tua Tagovailoa as the Dolphins beat the Patriots. You got Gerard Mayo saying that he can't help his team once the game starts in the postgame.
Oh, you know who's playing really well for Miami? We're going to do rookie ratings. Chop Robinson is a hit out of nowhere. It's been a while since Miami's had a real, you know, they brought in all these defensive guys and he looks like their star. I just don't know what to make of it because of the Patriots win. Like, yes, Miami can beat the Patriots, but does that mean they're going to show up this week? I'm having trouble with getting any takeaways. Yeah, Tua looks awesome running this offense, but again, against the Patriots.
Dolphins have won 3 in a row. They're back in this thing in terms of a playoff and maybe getting into the playoffs, an outside shot here. The thing about the Patriots, I'm going to be honest, this was not the one. I don't like Gerard Mayo's quotes about this, like saying the penalties are not his fault because he can't help as soon as you step over the line. Now he's a former player, so maybe that's fine. But here's the thing. Lots of Patriots teams go to South Florida in late November and December and lose. You have a rookie quarterback on the road. Nothing is expected, I don't think. So I wasn't that shocked by this.
Let's go to MetLife. Sorry, Manny here. Bucks beat the Giants 30-7. 30-7. How about the double Tommies from Baker Mayfield?
I think the Bucks look like a different team with Mike Evans. All of a sudden, they're back. I mean, they've on this epic losing streak. I think they're a very interesting team. I mean, again, it's really hard to tell because of the Giants are totally non-competitive, beyond non-competitive. Hey, by the way, if you were like, he's a local cult hero, maybe protect him a little, Tommy Cutlets, you're going to get him killed out there.
Yeah, my thing about this for the Giants, the big question is, what are you going to do about Malik Nabers? You got a rookie out here. It's one thing if it's Dexter Lawrence. Dexter Lawrence has earned the right to say something like the team played soft, which, by the way, you could have something to do with, Captain. But anyway, what are you going to do here with a wide receiver who's a rookie who feels like he can say whatever he wants about the team at any time? Now, is that their biggest problem? No, their biggest problem is they don't have a quarterback and no one knows about the coach and the GM. But you have... Everyone feels free reign to just dunk on everyone else in the organization.
I like a player who's freaking out by the losses. Like, that's probably closer to appropriate than being everything's okay.
But you don't have to say that to the media. Anyway.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's kind of hard to kill him. Like, that team was soft, as they all said. Like, I think the fact that he's so competitive, I'm building around that guy. I'm serious. And also, he's awesome. Like, once you get a real quarterback in there, he's going to be a star.
This was one of the most epic, crazy, bizarre, Yahtzee-type fourth quarters we've seen in a long time. Cowboys beat the Commanders 34-26.
If you're the Commanders, you have to be sick to your stomach about this because you had the game basically tied after you were down 20-9 in the fourth quarter, and you found a way, Perloff. Again, it wasn't quite another Hail Mary, Jaden Daniels to Terry McLaurin, but it was close enough. And your kicker misses the extra point. And then on the onside kick, the Dallas Cowboys end up scoring another touchdown. You just have to be sick to your stomach.
Yeah, but that feels like it doesn't tell the real story, which is that the Commanders have come down to earth. I thought you were going to go to Cliff Kingsbury's second half swoon, but it's not just that. Like, they had a terrible roster last year, and they tried to fix it with older players this offseason. But I think it's sort of we're seeing the real Commanders, who are just an average team.
Bryce Young going ban for ban with Patrick Mahomes. Who just saw that coming? But the Chiefs still beat the Panthers late with a game-winning field goal. Chiefs 30, Panthers 27.
I mean, it took smelling salts to get the Chiefs to even know they were in a football game by the second half. They are mailing this crap in like there is no tomorrow. I mean, how many three? They're trying things out. They're just trying things out. They could have won this game 52-7 if they put in a full effort. But, like, I just don't know what. They're just playing with their food. I'm serious. This was not what it seemed like.
I thought Bryce Young looked pretty good in this game. And that's a good defense. And I don't know if things have changed with Bryce Young and his outlook and what the if the Panthers actually decide to roll with him next year. Do they draft a quarterback? Just quickly, here's all the people who caught passes for the Chiefs yesterday. Noah Gray, Travis Kelce, Xavier Woodsey, DeAndre Hopkins, Kareem Hunt, Justin Watson, Samaje Perine, Carson Steele, Juju Smith-Schuster. Can somebody be the guy? All right, back to you.
Worthy is a wasted target, by the way. Your guy, Xavier Worthy, that you're so worried about. We'll see if he even, like, gets targets in the playoffs. Okay, Bryce Young, Mr. You guys are buying him for the Panthers next year. Let's look at his stats. Let's pull up the stats here.
Oh, 21 for 35, 263, one touchdown, no picks.
Let's pull up the season stats here. Oh, five touchdowns, six interceptions.
He was benched for a while.
He beat the Giants in Germany.
Well, technically, the Giants fumbled in overtime, and then they just set up a game-winning field goal.
And
sorry
that game,
again, Manny. That was not meant for you.
I'm telling you, the Chiefs mailed that in. Honestly, they had to get it in before Thanksgiving. They were not putting out a full engaged effort in that. And they had the game under control the whole time, and they sort of went into like a deep shell, and Bryce Young had some yards. No, I'm not buying Bryce Young as a future. Not doing it.
CJ Stroud said he's not worried about picks. Well, he should be. Threw too many in this one. Titans beat the Texans 32-27.
You combine Bobby Slowick, who wants to run on every play, and Joe Mixon, who is worn out from carrying the ball too early in the season, you have a disaster. CJ Stroud is the interceptions problem. Like, this Texans team is built to run all over everybody, and when they can't do that, I don't think the coaching staff adjusted well.
Okay, starting to look a little bit closer here. What's going on with the Texans? And besides my Buffalo Bills, who they beat by a field goal at home, who are the good teams that they've beaten? Dallas without Dak Prescott and everyone else? Lost to the Packers. Lost to Minnesota.
Lost to the Lions.
Something's
going on here. This was supposed to be the no-doubt slam dunk team. Like, of course they're on the ascension. It doesn't look that way.
Would you agree, though, that with Nico Collins, without Nico Collins, is a different team?
They've got a... Yeah, I get that, but it's not like the cupboard's totally bare there.
It's pretty bare. I mean, I think, like, he is like CeeDee Lamb is to the Cowboys. He's that important. He's the only difference maker on offense right now.
Bo Nix sets the rookie record for touchdowns as the Broncos beat the Raiders 29-19 in Vegas.
Oh, my God. Talk about a storyline that's sickening me. Bo Nix is rookie of the year. Sean Payton is coach of the year. How did the Broncos schedule end up like this, Maggie? Just tell me.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, they beat another bad team, and we're supposed to celebrate them. Yeah, I mean, I can't fight it anymore because they're probably making the playoffs. But I just don't know how good they are because their schedule just is parted like the Red Sea.
Yeah, they get the Browns next. I mean, it's it's funny. Peter Schrager, your friend, my friend, said that somehow Sean Payton's going to find a way this year to make the playoffs. He's like, I don't know how. I don't know what it's going to be, but he's going to find a way. I think Schrager was right about this.
Probably. I mean, look, they beat Spencer Rattler and Bryce Young and who's who of struggling quarterbacks.
They should have beaten the Chiefs.
Yeah, they should have beaten
the
Chiefs. Destroyed Atlanta. No, they're definitely playing well. Cortland Sutton is awesome, by the way. They have a true 1A receiver now. Bo Nix to Cortland Sutton is really cool. So we're ripping them, but it is funny how easy the schedule is.
Packers blow out the Niners 38-10. Three rushing touchdowns for Josh Jacobs.
Man, this is just the 49er season that just will get worse and worse. No one was expecting them to win this game after Brock Purdy was ruled out and after Nick Bosa was out and Trent Williams is out. And they didn't have a prayer in this game. And it just feels like the whole season is going sideways. And meanwhile, here are the Packers at 8-3, cruising.
I saw a stat. This is from Emmanuel Acho, Fox Sports. This is the first time in 37 regular season games that a Niners defense has allowed 38 points or more. The defense looks lost, helpless, and lifeless. The defense is slowly, slowly declining. I thought maybe switching off Steve Wilks would help. As defensive coordinator, I was dead wrong.
What about the last afternoon game we had here? Seahawks beat the Cards to go into a virtual tie for first place in the NFC West. Seahawks 16, Cards 6.
This was an ugly one.
Yeah,
I was watching this one very closely because I had multiple bets on this game, and boy, did I wish I didn't.
It was a tough game.
It was really hard to watch, and the Seahawks won this game, but it didn't make me trust them anymore.
Well, I feel like they have two really good receivers in DK Metcalf and JSN. Is that something? And also, Kenneth Walker looks good. Like, why aren't they scoring 30 points a game, Maggie?
Oh, I don't know, but it doesn't feel like they can run the ball, even though Kenneth Walker, he had 16 carries for 41 yards.
Yeah, he had a nice catch and run, though, right?
Yeah, he had two catches for 20 yards, one for 17, one for 3.
Geno had one. I saw one miraculous avoid a sack and make a play downfield. Geno's good for one miracle play a game and one miracle mistake a game.
The interception in the end zone was just like, did you forget what team you were playing for? I don't know. And Kyler Murray just wanted to, you could tell he wanted to be anywhere else. He always has to go backwards because he can't see anything over his line. It's just, that was ugly.
It was supposed to be pouring in that game. Did the rain ever come?
It did. And then in the second half, especially in the fourth quarter, started to come down pretty hard. 855-212-4227. So that's your NFL in 60. Coming up, we see you on the phones. You want to talk about the 49ers. Also, oh boy, Dion. What do you have to say after Colorado blew it against Kansas? We'll tell you next.
All right, sports fans, listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening. Because health is a long game, and it's yours to win. Now, here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of shields, guards, and RealFit products. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at depend.com. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Is there a connection to the Beyonce country album here?
Nope, just wanted to listen to some Beyonce on this sad Monday morning.
You know what? Lemonade. Stuck with me a lot
from
last week's show, and I don't think you've heard this. Pat Boyle is here. Shereen Williams saying Kyle Shanahan could be on the hot seat. That picked up some steam after the blowout loss. That's still one of the craziest things to me. The idea that Kyle Shanahan, who's to me the most in-demand coach in the entire league, could be on the hot seat. It still doesn't compute, but it seems like it's a thing, Maggie.
Yeah, I still don't know if it's a thing. Because you have so many injuries this year. Can't you point to any myriad of them? I mean,
of course.
You literally are down your quarterback now. Who expects you, once that happens, like...
I think the only case for it might be that if this really does look like a rebuild, are you going to rebuild with the same... Hey, coach, or do you want to just start clean?
Yes, you're going to rebuild with Kyle Shanahan.
I mean, how are you going to upgrade that? You're not getting Mike Tomlin. You're not getting Andy Reid. You're not getting John Harbaugh.
Kyle Shanahan's won 9-3 in the last four playoffs. Mike Tomlin hasn't won a playoff game in 8 years. How is that an upgrade? By the way, can I just a little Twitter exchange? BR Gridiron, which is your favorite website because you love the editor.
I'm sorry, Michael Parsons is their executive.
Tweeted on Sunday night, is Kyle Shanahan on the hot seat? To which Judy Batista, our friend, NFL Network, said, other owners would be standing in the parking lot before he even got to his car. Like, I think he might be the number one choice of a coach. If he's Andy Reid, 65. Like, if you could start a team, I think you would consider McVay or Shanahan. I mean...
Wait, hold on one second. Yeah. Michael Parsons didn't actually tweet that out.
Oh, no.
VR Gridiron tweeted that out.
Oh, yeah. Michael Parsons...
Disrespect El Presidente.
BR Gridiron tweeted out, is Kyle Shanahan on the hot seat? I think Micah Parsons, in addition to playing for the Dallas Cowboys, has to review everything that goes out on BR Gridiron.
I'm sure.
It's going to be in the A block on his podcast. He definitely could have approved this.
I just want to know. I want to know what
approved it. What, after they won and they beat the Commanders, he then goes to the team plane and he starts reviewing tweets?
I saw him shredding the Giants for letting Saquon Barkley go last night at like midnight. I don't know where it was. Did you guys see this?
Yeah.
Was that social media?
This might have been, I don't know where. I think it was social media.
Yeah, he said, what kind of team lets our best player go away in the division?
I just want to know what rebuild the Niners are going through. All their best players are signed through 2026. Bosa, Javon Hargrave, Trent Williams.
Well, Williams, Ayuk,
Debo's signed through 2025. Like, they're not.
Yeah, I think it's Debo and Kittle will probably be the two. Debo, maybe not Kittle. I don't know.
All their best players are there for at least another year, if not two or even three.
Samuel, they're going to cut because they can't afford him. Mike Silver was reporting they had a choice, Ayuk or Samuel. Kittle, I think, will be back now because he looks as good as ever.
Quickly, Dean's in California wants to talk about Kyle Shanahan. Hey, Dean.
Yeah. Thanks for taking a call. You know, Kyle actually has become conservative in the last year or two. 2 years ago, he was doing more innovative passes, and the teams were more dynamic in their play calling. Now, Tom Brady said last week when Kyle sees like a single safety, he'd rather run the ball, thinking he's going to break through. The run is going to break through the front lines and go for 40 yards. This team doesn't have the offensive linemen like the Eagles do to blow open holes. Mm. So, you know, he's like a spoiled rich kid driving a Ferrari on a gravel road. You need a four-wheel drive to do that.
And well, so, Dean, here's the thing, though, and I get what you're talking about, and I understand. Thank you for the phone call. I get that, but simple is not a bad thing when you have talent.
To me, there's no but about it. I've been screaming at my TV, stop running Christian McCaffrey into the line. Since he came back in week 10, it's been nothing but McCaffrey go nowhere. Felt like Shanahan was trying to make a point, and that caller is exactly right. That offense has taken a major step back since he came in.
Well, but last year, he was able to have one of the great seasons that we've seen from a running back slash receiver, whatever, this hybrid thing that McCaffrey does.
But it was also, too, because you never knew where the Niners were going to hit you. It could have been Debo, who has gone way down statistically. Could be Kittle, could be Ayuk. Now, the lack of weapons around McCaffrey is affecting him as well.
Pat Boyle has headlines for us. Hey, Pat.
Hey, yeah, so we've poured through this Saquon Barkley masterpiece from last night, but in case you missed it, 255 rushing yards, 302 yards from scrimmage, two touchdowns, both of 70 yards or more. Eagles beat the Rams 37-20. It's now 7 wins in a row for the Birds. They're 9-2. On the losing side, Los Angeles, here was head coach Sean McVay acknowledging the superhuman season it's been for Saquon.
The ability to get to the second level unabated, and he gets enough speed, and he's excellent. He's as good as there is as a slash runner to be able to work edges and then be able to erase angles and be able to finish. And that's why he had the production that he had, and that's why he's had, you know, arguably an MVP type of season so far.
Yeah, the Rams are still right in the thick of things in that wide open NFC West. Cards and Seahawks are 6-5, Rams and Niners at 5-6. We've covered every game now, but here's the bulletin board of madness that happened yesterday in the early window. Chiefs blow a double-digit fourth-quarter lead, hang on and beat the Panthers 30-27. Spencer Schrader kicks a last-second 31-yard field goal. Vikings blow an 11-point lead with less than a minute to go, also hold on and win 30-27 in overtime at the Bears, who have now lost 5 straight. Minnesota's won 4 in a row. Texans kicker Kaimi Fairbairn misses a 28-yard field goal with less than 2 minutes to go. Titans beat the Texans 32-27 in a game that had 4 lead changes. Houston has lost 4 of their last 6. And then the Commanders and Cowboys combining for 31 points in the final 3 minutes of the game. 2 kick returns for touchdowns from Dallas. Another near miracle for Washington on an 86-yard touchdown to Terry McLaurin, only for kicker Austin Seibert to miss the extra point, which would have tied the game. Tonight, got the Harbaugh Bowl. I'm already vomiting at all the packages that will be put together of Jim and John's parents with the who's got it better than us? Nobody.
Well, I don't wear women's perfume.
Yeah, one of them's going to have it better than the other when the clock hits zeros. So, Chargers and Ravens at SoFi Stadium for Monday Night Football. Baltimore 7-4, Bolts 7-3. Ravens are 2.5-point favorites, and okay, I'll concede. Here's your obligatory Harbaugh brother clip. Here's Ravens coach John speaking about his brother.
I've known him, you know, since he was born. I've got that on him, you know, a couple months, but he loves football, man. He loves his players. He loves football. He's always got some way of seeing things, I think, that's really interesting, and, you know, that's why people are interested in hearing from him.
Okay.
That's just so annoying.
Friday, Perloff said that he would rather die than have to fake laugh at a press conference. Yeah. And you were talking about Deion Sanders, who was talking about Travis Hunter, and you were so salty. Well, what do you think about this?
Manny pumped in that sound
well,
from
of course,
the
but there was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where do you think Manny got that laugh track from? That's the Deion laugh track.
Yeah, yeah. The Harbaugh having a laugh, like the Harbaugh performance, I agree with Pat. It's just gotten like, just play football. I do not need to see Jim Harbaugh's comedy routine anymore. He's a great coach, and I'm thrilled for the Chargers, but just okay. Just enough of the one-liners. I don't care what you think about chickens. Just play football.
I do. You guys do have to hear this, though, and if you follow Chargers social media clips or any of the nameless faceless aggregators out there, you've seen how much Jim Harbaugh loves his QB, Justin Herbert, but this is next level.
It is what it is. I mean, enjoy it. He's not only one of the best in the game currently, he's one of the best of all time. I do not think I'm going out on a, what do they call it, on a ledge, on a limb. I do not feel at all like I'm going out on a limb and saying that.
Yeah, usually you have to win, I don't know, one playoff game through four full seasons to be considered one of the best quarterbacks of all time. I mean, what are we doing here?
Well, it's classic Harbaugh. Classic Harbaugh. We argued about this last week. I think he's totally off base here. Perloff actually likes this. But here's the thing about John Harbaugh. So John Harbaugh's 2-0 against Jim, right? Was that right? Older brother is 2-0. One was the Super Bowl.
Yeah, because the Ravens won that Super Bowl.
Right. Is anyone else like this tracks for me? I have an older brother. I can't beat him in anything. Like we play tennis against each other, whatever it is. Like he will always have the upper hand. I think this might be a situation like that.
Beats at two games.
Didn't you pick the Ravens tonight?
No, I picked the Chargers.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. But after two games, you're making that declaration that
I am.
Jim can never be John?
I think so. I think they could play each other 10 times. I think John's going to win.
If you play your brother now and whatever you're doing, you will wash him. Guaranteed, because my brother's washed me and everything.
Oh, you think younger sibling is finally ready for revenge?
Yeah,
hey.
Are you
the oldest boy?
Yes, I'm the oldest boy.
Me too. Yeah,
sibling. Yeah, his motor skills are weak now. He's not as quick with his video games.
Girl, you
or whatever.
Got it.
You will smoke him now.
My
youngest brother destroys me in NBA 2K.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, real basketball. I'm like, EJ, you're coming off of major knee surgery.
Yeah, I'm not picking up the turntables have...
Can we say one thing, though, that Jim Harbaugh has done a much better job with the Chargers this year than John Harbaugh has done with the Ravens? The Ravens should not be 7-4.
It's totally different expectations. Ravens' expectation is Super Bowl and win it. Chargers is make
right.
the playoffs.
But I just feel like the Ravens added Derrick Henry and took a major step backwards record-wise. So, like, John Harbaugh, I don't think has... We'll see tonight. I think it's a big test. If they go to 7-5...
The Ravens are one of the best teams in the NFL.
If they're 7-5, then explain. That's not good.
I agree with Perloff. They can't
sloppy.
Close out games, and their defense stinks.
The defense is not as good as they were, but they beat the Bengals twice, and for some reason, they've got this thing about the Steelers, and they can't beat the Steelers.
Yeah, they've just been...
They also blow every four... I mean, how many double-digit fourth-quarter leads have they blown?
I know. Well,
I think they have the most in the last 3 years.
That was earlier
he's
in the season, then they kind of got away from it, and now they're kind of back on.
I don't know. I don't think Jim would have lost to the Browns like John did. They're just not tight this year. I don't know what it is. Honestly, it is a big deal. I disagree with you on that. Falling to 7-5, I don't have the standings in front of me. Doesn't that seem very problematic for the Ravens?
Yeah, but honestly, like between the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Ravens, who's going off regular season? They're all going to make the playoffs, and then you see what happens then.
Well, I mean, then if the Chargers are right in there too, because if they get a home game, can run the ball, who knows? I think it's it still feels like the Chiefs division to win. By the way, Josh Allen, MVP frontrunner, jumped to number one.
Did that happen?
Yeah.
Where's Saquon?
About that?
I think he might be two.
He's got to be two. Really quickly, let's just hit a couple of hoops here. Women's college basketball, the streak is over. Dawn Staley in South Carolina upended at Pauley Pavilion yesterday by number 5 UCLA, 77-62. Was never really a contest. The Gamecocks' win streak ends at 43. Largest loss by the AP number 1 team in 4 years, and South Carolina's first defeat on the road since 2021. NBA, Celtics held on a late to survive a late T-Wolves rally to win 107-105. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown combined for 55 points in the win. Boston now 14-3 on the year. Luka Doncic missed his second straight game with that wrist sprain that could sideline him up to 2 weeks, and Jimmy Butler turned back the clock, dropping 33 points. The Heat beat the Mavs 123-118. The Cavs are now 17-1. The Raptors scored the first bucket, and then it was wire to wire after that, 122-108 the final. And Perloff?
Yeah.
While the Eagles are flying, the Sixers are dying. I can hear the boos raining down from Wells Fargo Center yesterday. Clippers crushed the Sixers 125-99. Joel Embiid has a chip nail and some boo-boos, couldn't play. Just kidding. It's the left knee that they're continuing to load manage. Missed his second straight game. Paul George missing his second straight game. Philly's now 3-13.
My big question is, if you play this song, how would Jeremy McCain dance to it on TikTok?
That's the best. That's the only thing you guys got going right now.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Jared McCain and his TikToks. And
it's the best. You know,
occasional a dude from Duke. Is dancing on the internet. Yeah. And that's the best thing you got.
Love it.
My friend said there's nothing more unlikable than a guy playing for a Philadelphia team who went to Duke who TikToks telling people that he's rookie of the year on a 3-12 team. Might be the most unlikable. That's unlikable Yahtzee or whatever the hell, how you play Yahtzee. That's everything. He did it all.
The full bingo card.
Situational extravaganza.
Man.
By the way.
Perloff just woof.
I'm thrilled about the Sixers. I'm totally ready to tackle. I'm like Manny has no idea how to lose the right way. He's upset about the Giants. Sixers lose away. That is great stuff. By the way, you know how Jimmy Butler is celebrating? He's probably celebrating right now his big game yesterday. What does he do when he wants to commemorate a good moment? His barista is making him something amazing, man.
Oh, yeah. That's when I turned off that basketball documentary.
Yeah, yeah.
Jimmy Butler has his own barista
in his home. Yes. So after a 33-point game right now, he's got a triple cappuccino with foam designs on it.
Like, I'm not saying that you shouldn't make all that money. I'm just saying, do you need your own barista in your house?
Does he or she live at his house, or do they like just have to be there at like 7, 8 a.m.?
Yeah. I think he just comes over, and then he's on call all day to make coffee.
He has I disagree. I think that's amazing use of money to have a personal barista.
Yeah, that's the amazing use of money. He's got the machine right there. Imagine, you barely have to push a button.
Imagine that job.
No, and he says like it better be good this time. Like he's putting pressure on.
But
the
imagine, what do you do for a living? Jimmy Butler's barista. I make like $100,000.
I do.
Might be more.
Went to the best culinary schools in America. Just become Jimmy Butler's personal barista.
Also, too, Jimmy Butler had like his dad's friend. Like they're all like playing games on a table. Like. His life's not amazing.
Just like wired because they've run 16 cups of coffee all day.
Jimmy Butler has it figured out.
Voice.
Figured out, Maggie. I can't believe you. I thought you liked the barista. I thought that was a fun thing that we were celebrating.
Hell no.
Nope. I'm not.
Waste of money. What's a better use? What, would you rather use it on jewelry or a fancy car?
I'm emo. Leave me alone.
Give it to an elementary school. I don't know. Anything. You can make your own coffee.
Hell no.
Pat, thank you so much. Great job. Okay, we got two things to do. I have my list of the top 5 most miserable people in the NFL today. We also have Deion Sanders. Both of it comes your way next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. All right. We don't have a lot of show left. We got to get something very important in, which is I now have the definitive list of the top 5 most miserable people in the NFL today.
All right.
In and around the NFL.
Man, I've feeling you're going to have trouble limiting it to 5.
I could have gone 10 deep here. Easily. Let's kick it off, though. Number 5 on my list, the most miserable people in the NFL, it's got to be Commanders kicker Austin Seibert missed a PAT that would have tied the game improbably.
Hey, this is no gimme now.
He's already missed one extra point.
Yep. Had the hip injury.
It's a huge play for Rich Seibert, their kicker. And the kick's away, and the kick is wide left!
It felt not even close. Austin Seibert, that is the fifth most miserable person in the NFL today. Fourth on the list. Yes.
Why did that announcer keep calling him Rich Seibert?
I don't know.
That's a former, that's another team guy. Yeah, that bothered me, but go ahead.
I don't know. I can't do that. I want to play the call, though. Okay, fourth on the list, most miserable people in the NFL today. It's got to be Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray looked like he wanted to just get the first bus out of Seattle. He couldn't wait for that game to be over. His team scored a grand total of 6 points yesterday against the Seahawks. It looked like he maybe got concussed, maybe not. His helmet was flying off. That was a dreadful performance by the Arizona Cardinals, and Kyler Murray looked absolutely pitiful.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like we were all so high on that guy, too. That's part of the reason it's disappointing, because it was like America was all about Kyler Murray headed into this week.
That was just rough. And the third most miserable person in the NFL today, I don't know if he's capable of being this miserable because he's generally on some kind of psychedelic drug. It's got to be Aaron Rodgers. How does this guy even come back to the building? You've got all these varying reports about whether he's at odds with the owners. Maybe he's not. The head coach has been fired. The general manager has been fired. The season is in the toilet. We get a report that he refuses to get any kind of medical scans, so no MRIs on his ankles and knees because he doesn't want the team to put him on IR. This whole thing is so beyond stupid. We've reached the full Jets portion of the Aaron Rodgers season. It is just so Jetsian and dumb. Aaron Rodgers, unless he's on some kind of mood elevator, has got to be the third most miserable person in the NFL.
He was at the college game, though.
Yeah, he saw Cal pull off a big win.
Yeah,
so
was he? And I think he walked out with Deshaun Jackson or somebody. Yeah. So he might have been temporarily happy.
That's just a little dopamine hit, and then you're right crashing right back down to reality.
Had a couple really interesting nights on the medicine and came back a changed person.
Even the Jets will shake that out of you. Brilliant job, Manny. The second most miserable person in the NFL, without a doubt, it's got to be Kyle Shanahan. Who could have seen this insane, awful season coming? Mm. Everybody's hurt. You just went into Lambeau playing against one of your friends. You get shellacked. You're totally at a talent deficit. This season can't end fast enough for Kyle Shanahan. He's miserable.
He looks miserable. Obviously.
Number one most miserable person in the NFL today, in and around the NFL, is our very own Manny Rodriguez. Mm. Your Giants are the worst excuse for an organization that I've seen in a long time, Manny. And the reason why you get this and not John Mara or Malik Nabers is because you actually have no control over anything that happens. You have to just sit there and watch it. At least the owner is rich. Malik Nabers, you know, is also rich, and he can have some kind of control. You just have to sit there and take it. I feel terrible for you. The New York Giants are a laughingstock. Even Baker Mayfield was trolling you.
Mm-hmm.
It is Manny Rodriguez, the most miserable person in the NFL today. Manny, congrats.
Thank you. Thank you, Maggie. Yeah. It's been a long time coming, maybe about a decade and a half of just absolute ineptitude at East Rutherford. And you know what? I'll take this and go home with it because it's actually the only thing that I will ever win when it comes to football.
You have two rings.
Who would you
dude?
Like to thank? They've got four rings.
Well, he's alive for two of them.
Yeah, I was alive for two of them. Yeah, but I mean, aside from those 2 years, it's not been good. It's not been good.
I mean, you could give out some thank yous here. Maybe Dave Gettleman for drafting Daniel Jones in a reach.
Joe Shane, Brian Daboll. I would like to thank, Tiki Barber as well. Eli Manning for getting me into this hole. For me watching them as a child.
Oh, because they set you up in the good era.
Michael
Strahan, I'm sure. Yeah.
Why don't we throw in Amani Toomer in
Rich
there?
Rich Seibert, longtime guard for the New York Giants.
Yes, that's right. Rich
you
Seibert
get Justin
as well.
Love?
Chris Snee, why not?
OC?
You
can't blame OC.
OC Umanure?
Love that guy.
Antonio Pierce?
Oh, God.
Well, he could have also made this list, but they did pull off a really cool fake punt yesterday, so that's what got him off the list.
Was cool.
To the devil. To the devil himself.
I owe Diablo.
That was the best play of the weekend. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. No,
get us out of this Giants funk. Let's talk about the Raiders fake punt.
Talk about Raiders special teams.
Yeah.
They still lost yesterday.
Thank you to Jared Lorenzen as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, baby, rest
his
in peace.
Nickname?
Hefty Lefty.
Hefty Lefty. Thanks.
The round mound of touchdown.
He's no longer with us either.
Unfortunately, Manny, you had to witness that yesterday, so you are the most miserable person in the NFL.
Yes,
thank you to you, though. Thank you to EJ Stewart. Thank you to Pat Boyle, did a great job today. Thank you to Andrew Kaplan, always awesome, and the Weedos and the coffee drinkers as well.
and Rich Seibert and Tommy DeVito's agent and anyone who's ever been connected with the New York Giants.
See you tomorrow.